moment. I did it myself. Go to relevantradio.com/Lent. Now, with Lent almost here, the question is, how can parents encourage young children to prepare for Lent and understand that it's not just the sacrifices of candy or toys, but sacrifices of ourselves that can please the Lord? Joining us now is Claudia Cangela McAdam, a Catholic award-winning author of books for kids and teens. Claudia has authored 24 books, and her faith-based titles invite children to learn, love, and live the Catholic faith. Her most recent work is the 32-page picture book called Louis Lent. Good morning, Claudia. Welcome to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's great to be with you.
Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity. It's lovely to speak with you as well.
Absolutely. You know, with everything that's going on in Eastern Europe and Ukraine, it's kind of nice to just shift gears and focus on something spiritual, which, of course, with Lent coming up next week, this is a great opportunity to start to prepare ourselves for this journey of Lent. Can you talk a little bit about how Lent is an opportunity for us as parents to encourage children to grow deeper in their Catholic faith?
Absolutely. And it's not just an opportunity for the kids. Hopefully we adults do that as well.
Definitely.
And yeah, the journey that we begin on Ash Wednesday ideally will lead us deeper into our faith for the rest of our lives. So it's every year it's a great chance to come into a deeper relationship with Jesus and connect more closely with our Lord. And I think that starts off with reflecting on his temptation in the desert. And the first three things that he's tempted with are the three things that really lead us to what we vow to do during Lent. For example, the first temptation is that stones be turned into bread to satisfy his bodily appetite, which leads us, if we're going to imitate the Lord, to fast during this period as Jesus does in the desert. The devil then tempts Jesus with all the kingdoms of the world. They can be his, the devil says. Well, P.S., they already are his. But beyond that, it tempts us and Jesus to possess all the wealth of the world. And when we resist that, we're led to being givers, to almsgiving financially and with our time and our efforts. And the third temptation asks Jesus to throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple. And he's so important, the devil says, the angels will swoop in to rescue him. And that appeals to pride, Jesus's pride, our pride. And that would lead us then to prayer, to ask our Lord to help strengthen us in all the things that would lead us to sin. So that's kind of an overview of Lent in itself. And to boil it down to the kids' level, I've written this book called Louis Lent.
Well, tell us about Louis Lent. What is the premise of your book, and what was your inspiration and motivation in writing this book?
The premise is it's a contemporary story. Louis, a boy who on Ash Wednesday, he and his classmates are discussing what their Lenten sacrifices will be. And, you know, some of the kids will give up sweets or not play video games, that type of thing. Louis is unsure what to give up for Lent. He isn't allowed to eat sweets. His family can't afford video games. He doesn't really have a bad habit he can identify. What should he give up? He doesn't know. And instead of doing any of those things, Louis decides to support his friends in the sacrifices that they have chosen. And he accompanies them in their Lenten sacrifices. He helps his friend who's giving up sweets. He helps her through that fasting period. The friend that isn't going to play video games, Louis gets him involved in helping coach a little kid's soccer team, for example. So he gives of himself. And at the end of the 40 days of Lent, he thinks he's failed and hasn't really lived a good Lent, where his teacher, Sister Mary Lawrence, points out that actually he led a very good Lent because he did what the Lord asked us to do in giving of ourselves. So it's kind of a blueprint for kids on how they might emulate our Lord and emulate Louis in what he does for Lent.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating story and a great tool to inspire young kids here during the Lenten season. In your promotional material through Ascension Press, you mentioned the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 13. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. How do we instill that lesson on our little ones?
First and foremost, by being models of that behavior ourselves. I mean, if we give up coffee or social media or something like that for Lent, but we're unkind or we're not giving of our money to people in need, we're not truly living out what Jesus asks us to do in practicing mercy. Are sacrifices good? Yes, they are. But the idea is that those sacrifices direct us to a change in lifestyle, a change in our heart. A metanoia, a complete alteration of the way we live our lives. So the biggest thing is for parents and grandparents and teachers and the adults around the kids to live out Lent in that authentic way and encourage the kids then to do that as well. I've got several suggestions on how you can do that physically by doing things like going to Mass more frequently than just once a week, maybe going to Eucharistic adoration, attending Stations of the Cross on Fridays, going to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, praying the Sorrowful Mysteries of the Rosary. These are all things that families can do together to introduce kids into a deeper practice of the faith, particularly during Lent, but hopefully that sticks with them beyond Lent.
The old adage, you can't give what you don't have, is so important when it comes to parents. Some parents just aren't able to model all of these different ways to celebrate Lent. And I guess it's so important that the parents first internalize the importance of trying to go to Mass more often, of going to Eucharistic adoration, you know, taking part on Fridays of the Stations of the Cross and trying to find a way to get to confession. So I think that job one is the parents, and then it's their job to pass it on to the children.
Exactly. And you don't have to do all those things this Lent. If you're not doing any of those things, pick one that you think you might be able to do as a family. Just even pray a decade of the Sorrowful Mysteries of the Rosary together. What does that take? You know, 5 minutes or something. Just do something small, baby steps. If you're not already doing a lot of things, try one thing that might change your life and your children's lives. I mean, you're talking about eternity for your kids, preparing them for eternity. And it's not hard to do those things. Does it take a little time and effort? Yes. Are the rewards big at the other side of it? Absolutely. So just try one thing if you're not doing any of those things.
I always find it quite uplifting when I see a family waiting in line to go to confession in the back of church. You talk about the beauty of this sacrament of joy that we have, that it's such a good idea to pass it on to the children so they understand the beauty of confession.
It really is. It's a great gift. I have a grandson who will be making his first communion in May, and he's already made his first reconciliation, and he loves it. He can't get enough of it. I don't know what he has to confess, but he's excited about going back to the confessional. So he's been well prepared to understand that you meet Jesus in the confessional and that the absolution you receive it's a clean slate on your life, and it's a wonderful way to encounter the Lord. It's hard for a lot of us, even a lot of us adults, to go to confession even once a year, but we're required to do that, and the blessings are enormous if we just screw up our courage and go in and do it. And it shouldn't be a frightful or an off-putting experience. It should be met with joy. And hopefully parents will realize that and pass that joy along to their kids as they all go to confession together.
What about going to Mass more than just on Sundays? Obviously, Sunday is the bare-bone minimum, but, I mean, during mm-hmm. Lent, if you can get there, maybe even on just Wednesdays, for example, as a family, it's a beautiful thing.
It really is, and, you know, I think back to my childhood. I attended a Catholic school, so obviously we had a church there associated with it, and I vividly remember one Lent making an effort to go to school early because Mass preceded the school day every day. And I brought my two little sisters who were also in school at that time. So I think I was in fourth grade. They were in second and first grade. And we would go early so that we could go to Mass before school. And that was a wonderful learning experience for me. And actually, I'm a daily Mass attendee as an adult. And I think it had its roots in doing that as a child. So you're right. It's not always easy to go an extra time during the week. But, oh my goodness, you're meeting the Lord. You're receiving his body and blood if you're of age, if you've, you know, made your first communion. And you're able to bring the Lord into your heart, into your life, into your body, and start every day that way. And there's no better way to start. It's as important as having breakfast, in my opinion, is to be able to spend time with the Lord. If you can't go to Mass, how about extra prayers in the morning?
We're joined this morning by Claudia Cangillo McAdam, a Catholic award-winning author of books for kids and teens, including her most recent book, Louis Lent, which is a great way for young kids to have a meaningful Lent. You know, as you're talking about your experience with Mass as a kid, I remember when I was in high school, I went to a boarding military academy run by the Benedictines, and I remember they used to have daily Mass available right before lunch. So if you went to Mass, you got into the lunch line first. If you didn't go to Mass, you went to study hall, you had to wait in line. So that was kind of a little carrot, a motivation for all of us to go to daily Mass so we could get into lunch early, especially after being really hungry with classes all morning long. So it just reminds me of those experiences as a young kid, and also going to the grammar school Masses with the sisters. And, you know, it's such a part of our formation, and some of those seeds that are planted when we're kids, they sprout later on as adults.
They do. I love it that you were doubly fed by going to Mass before lunch. I have a favorite quote from an author named Mary Jo Putney, and she said, "What one loves in childhood stays in the heart forever." What better thing can we give our kids?
I love it. What a profound thought that is. You know, and our Lord, I was just meditating on the scripture about where Jesus talks about that we must be like little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he really does want us to have that childlike faith. And I think that's something that we can all work on here during Lent.
Yes, we can. And childlike, not childish. So it's with an open heart and with a desire to embrace the good. Every kid wants to do that, and every adult should as well.
Claudia, how can parents or even grandparents realistically help the young children in the family to stay focused on keeping the Lenten resolutions during such a long period, during 40 days?
You know, it's not always easy, but I think, as I said before, if you read the gospel of Jesus's temptation in the desert and you vow to try to emulate what he did and imitate him, which is what our whole lives should be about. If you start slipping in your Lenten resolutions, just get back on the horse and realize what good can come of prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. And I always create for my picture books, I create a discussion and activities guide, which is available for free through my website, ClaudiaMcAdam.com. And there's all sorts of fun things that kids can do, plus discussion questions about how to live out a good Lent. So that's a great way to talk about the Lenten experience with respect to the book I've written, Louis Lent. And, you know, share that book together, share the experience together. It can be a fun and life-changing and growing opportunity for families to do together.
Your book, Louis Lent, is geared for little Catholics between the ages of 4 and 8 years of age. There's a difference between a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old, but I guess this book kind of covers the whole realm.
You know, you got to start when the kids are little and expose them to what Lent is. Do you expect a 4-year-old to be fasting or, you know, breaking open the piggy bank? No, not necessarily. But if they come to an understanding of what Lent is like, they're on the path to living good Catholic faith-filled lives. And to be able to share a book that has the characters in it who are young kids as well, children love reading about other kids who are like themselves. So a four-year-old, they'll look at the pictures, they'll listen to the words. They may not be able to internalize it, but older kids, even older than eight, can get an understanding of how they might live out a good Lent.
How have the children received the pictures that you have in your book? There's some a cute picture right on the cover of the book with a sister in full habit.
Yes, the kids have liked it, and even, not just the kids, but my husband. When he first saw the pictures, he was really impressed. Michael Rogers is the illustrator. He's a talented young illustrator, and when my husband looked through the book, he's like, "I really like this. You see the picture of the inside of this family's house, and there's a picture of Jesus on the wall. And in the classroom, there's a crucifix on the wall." And just the subtle ways that the faith is brought in through the illustrations really helps embed our faith into the minds and the hearts of the kids and the adults who are reading this book. So, yeah, the illustrations are lifelike and fun and colorful, and I think anybody can enjoy reading them. And I love seeing Sister Mary Lawrence. She is based on my daughter-in-law's sister, who's a Dominican sister, whose name is Sister Mary Lawrence.
Awesome. I have memories of my little one who is now a teenager. He's 14 in eighth grade. But when he was little, I always would bless him with holy water at bedtime. Just a simple little prayer and blessing with holy water. And these are just examples of the little things that we can do as parents to instill the basics of our faith to our little ones.
And even the not so little ones. I mean, I don't know how your son would react, but a blessing of a cross on the forehead on the way out the door to school. I used to do that with my kids. May God bless you and be with you, and off they'd go. And they do that with their kids now. So,
believe it or not, we still do it.
Children are never too old.
Don't do it exactly. Every night like we used to, but I still occasionally bless him with holy water, and he still remembers. So it's a beautiful thing to be able to share our faith with our children. Claudia, it's been a joy to be with you. Thanks so much for sharing. Again, your book can be found at ascensionpress.com.
Yeah, ascensionpress.com/Ash Wednesday.
Awesome. Louise Lent. Claudia, thanks so much for joining us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you. God bless you and all your listeners.
God bless you too. Claudia Gangilla McAdam, Catholic.